Please be seated, and please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 23 in particular. Psalm 23. Hear God's word, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Join me in prayer. God Almighty, we come before you now and ask that you would speak to us in and through your holy word. Along with our brother and elder Michael, give us ears to hear and hearts that are ready and willing to obey. Convict us afresh as each and every one of us aspires to greater godlikeness and godliness. Sanctify us now in the truth. Thy word is truth. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Leadership in the world is, for the most part, narcissistic. It is self-centered. It is about moving up and about getting ahead. It's about being on top. And to a certain extent, that is right and appropriate. A leader must have a view of the landscape from on top. They should and must take responsibility for those that they lead. And in that sense, they should be on top. But in our self-centered, all-about-me culture, leadership gets tied up with selfishness and with self-aggrandizement. It becomes difficult to disentangle leadership from lording it over others. The church is not the world. In the world, but not of the world. We don't take our cues from the culture, and our definitions and standards for leadership are certainly not worldly. We march to the beat of a different drum. My brother Michael, the church is more like a family, the family of God to be sure. And our definitions and standards come from the inerrant source, from God's word and the examples therein. The leadership of men like Moses and Samuel and King David, imperfect and sinful as they were. Men like the Apostle Paul and Peter and John, imperfect as they were. And of course, our ultimate example, the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the senior pastor of the church, and the chief elder, if you will. And you remember, Michael, what he said to his disciples in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 42. He said this, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, that is, in the world, they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet," he said, "yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all." Listen, Mr. Choi. Jesus didn't just say that to say that. This wasn't lip service, as you well know. Jesus is no hypocrite. He practiced what he preached. Verse 45, he goes on, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, I'm sure that many of us know that passage well. But the question is not whether we know it, but rather, do we live it well? Do we live that passage well? My brother Mike, I exhort you as a fellow elder. Leadership in God's church, in God's family, is not about, it is not about fulfilling your hopes and dreams. No, it is about kneeling down and helping others fulfill theirs. It's not so much about vision casting or even direction setting as it is about walking alongside of others and helping them to stay the course and to fix their eyes on what lies ahead. You, my brother, must be more interested in building up than moving up. And you know this well. Mike, you are a young father. Being a father is not about moving up, but rather about building up. When my children were younger, we had our good days and we had our bad days. When they were young, they were unable to do basic things like feed themselves or get ready for bed. And listen, Mike, when Mia has one of those long meltdown days, she doesn't need an angry, frustrated response from you. This will not build up, brother. She needs your calmness. She needs your steadiness. She needs your gentle sureness about how toothbrushes work and about how to put pajamas on one leg at a time. Mike, this is bottom-up leadership. This is leadership that kneels down to lift others up. This is servant leadership. And don't get me wrong, brother. There will be times when Mia, where she will need to hear from you, and she will need you to exercise your fatherly authority, where you should expect obedience. But keep in mind that the exercise of that authority is always, always, and without exception for her well-being. Look both ways before you cross. Don't run with scissors in your hands. Don't trust strangers. Be kind to your brother or sister, Lord willing. As an elder, the exercise of that authority is always and without exception for their well-being. Walk here, not there. Flee from sin. Pursue righteousness. Humble yourself. Submit to God. Look to Christ. You, brother, must exegete the text, prepare the sermon, invest the church's money, all for their well-being and not your own. My brother, we take the high office of elder in the church so that we can lead from the bottom up. From the bottom up. We take the office not to be served, you understand, but to serve, to equip, to enable, and to empower others. You must see to their maturation and growth in Christ. And they don't need us to bark orders at them, you understand. They don't need us to dictate from on high. But what God's people need is our gentleness, our calmness, and our steady confidence in Christ. Mike, I'm sure you remember the qualifications of an elder. I'm sure you do. Let me list a few of them for you, highlighting the things that I've just mentioned. 1 Timothy 3. An elder must be temperate, sober-minded, hospitable, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how, pray tell, will he care for the church of God? Well, Mike, I direct your attention back to Psalm 23. As shepherds, as elders, we take our cues from the chief shepherd, from the chief elder. This psalm, as you know, is written from the perspective of the sheep. And what is patently obvious and perhaps overlooked is how much the sheep trust their shepherd. This runs throughout the psalm, in every thought, in every line. And while we glean leadership lessons from Psalm 23, we, all of us, we must remember and never forget that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He is the chief shepherd. And as under shepherds, it is ours, Brother Mike, but to lead others to the shepherd of souls. Non-Christian friends and family, Jesus said this. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It is our great desire and Michael's great desire to lead you to the great shepherd of souls, to Jesus Christ who laid down his life, who died on a cross to pay for the sins of those who had lived their lives for themselves, for those who sinned against a good and holy God, for those who chased after other gods, or who had chased after the cultural idols of success, comfort, health, wealth, prosperity, you name it. These false gods, these cultural idols, they cannot restore your soul. They cannot lead you on, as we read, paths of righteousness. They cannot take you, as we all will one day be taken through the valley of the shadow of death. These idols cannot lead you to the eternal world of glory, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Only God can bring you there. Only in Christ, by faith in him, will he become your shepherd. When, non-Christian, you put your full trust in him, dying to self and sin and turning away from sin in repentance, trusting that Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead to lead you back to God, then and only then will you be able to say with David the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." My brother Michael, what is plain and patently obvious is that the sheep trust the shepherd. They trust him because he is trustworthy. He has proven himself to them. Mike, you have and must continue to prove yourself trustworthy. By his leadership, great peace and rest come to the sheep. David says, "He maketh me to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me by the still waters." By his leadership, the broken, the battered, the bruised, they are restored. David says, "He restoreth my soul." They are directed to and led upon the paths of righteousness. You see, Mike, this is what the spiritual leader is and does. Mike, you know how restless we sheep can be. You know how restless we are. And you know how many people come to us in tumult. They come battered and bruised with no place to lay their head, as it were. And Mike, you know that children, and we can hear the voice of one now, you know that children do not know how to put themselves to sleep. You've learned this. But we, moms and dads, we have to teach them to sleep. We have to put them down, as we say. And it takes great care and great patience to bring our little ones to rest. He maketh me to lie in pastures green. The faithful shepherd gives rest to the restless. And just as we teach them to rest and to be at peace, so also do we put them on paths of righteousness. We lead them along the straight path. And listen, my brother, when they find rest and peace, when these are placed on the paths of righteousness, when they are restored and led along the righteous path of God, then, even though they walk through a valley, even though they walk the valley of the shadow of death, even then, they will not fear. They'll feel safe. They will know that they are protected. And the symbols of authority, thy rod and thy staff, these become symbols of safety because the shepherd only exercises his authority for their safety and good. You see, Mike, this is what good elders and good shepherds do. They provide safety and security through the valleys of life. What's more, verse 5. The shepherd provides and he protects. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My head is anointed. My cup runneth over. Now, if we were surrounded by the enemy, we would hardly sit down to eat and drink. To do so would be to put our guard down and to put ourselves in a very vulnerable position. Unless you know that you're protected on every side. The shepherd supplies. He supplies the provision. And he protects the sheep on all sides. Michael, it is ours to set the table, to supply the spiritual food in abundance and protect God's people so that they might sit and eat in peace. This is our job. My fellow elder and brother, the faithful elder and shepherd brings great peace and rest to the people of God in God's church. He restores and revives. He directs and leads along the paths of righteousness. He provides safety and security through the valleys. He protects the sheep and ensures that they are well fed. All of this engenders great confidence in the sheep toward their shepherd. They say this, surely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There is great trust and confidence in the sheep toward their shepherd. Now, that kind of surety and confidence can only come from following, as we all well know, the chief shepherd, to be sure. But Mike, God's people here at Pillar Baptist, they have set you apart for the office of elder so that the goodness and mercy of God might follow the church all the days of her life. You have been set apart to ensure her well-being, so that she might say with great confidence and great certitude, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My brother Michael, this is a tall order. It is one that you have to kneel down. You have to kneel down to it in order to fulfill. And I trust that you have not taken this office to be served, but to serve. My brother, as I bring this to a close, and before Elder Basil comes to read 1 Timothy 3, remember this. Character always trumps giftedness and skill. Proven character is what makes for godly elders. What we need, brother, what we need is not flashy, charismatic game show host. Okay? No, God's people need elders who will never abuse or take advantage or leave them in the open field. God's people need shepherds men of great character and consistency, men who will not leave or forsake them when they are in the valley or when the enemy surrounds, men who will not leave the restless until they find rest, men who will kneel down to lift up, who are more concerned about building up than moving up, esteeming others before esteeming themselves. And this, my brother, is character. Character always trumps skill. And listen, Mike, you are already a shepherd. You shepherd two ladies. And if I may, Miss Geneva is not impressed by anyone or anything. I think we all know this about her. She is not impressed by your badminton skills, your programming skills, or even that you are an elder in this church. Mike, she's not impressed, and I'm sure you know that far better than any of us do. And Mia, she's not going to remember or care about how skilled you were at this or that. She's not. This is not why Geneva married you or why Mia looks to you as dad, but rather consistency and character. Mike, when skill and giftedness fail, it is consistency and character, consistent love and proven character that will demonstrate all over again who and what you are to your wife, to your daughter, and to this church. In the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, my brother Michael, fulfill your ministry. Let's pray together. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your word, the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the clear instructions that you have given to your church. Your word is clear. We know who a leader is and what spiritual leadership looks like. And we have a living example of that here in our brother. Help us submit to his leadership in love. Humble us, Lord, as we recognize that you have placed him in our lives for our good and for the church's well-being. Bless his ministry. Use him to lead sinners to Christ, to equip the saints, to protect the church, and to guard the sacred deposit that you have entrusted to him. Enable him to love your church with the very same love with which you love her. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my brother Mike, you came to this church in 2011. Before that, I had only heard of you. And since Geneva is not a woman of many words, I only knew your name. I didn't know much else. I only knew you as Geneva's boyfriend. And truth be told, Mike, before you moved up, Pastor Danny kept trying to hook Geneva up with another man. And I kept telling him, no, Geneva has a boyfriend, but with this one out of sight, out of mind. Well, after you moved up, Pastor Danny quickly repented of that sin. When you moved back, and the more we got to know you, the more we kept saying to one another, the elders, this guy Mike is legit. Not because you were or are perfect, or because you were like us. You were neither. But two things were evident, as they are now. Two things were evident. You, brother, love the Lord your God, and you love your wife. Not perfect, far from it, but we watched you grow. You were candid about your weaknesses, and even when we approached you about this or that, you took it in stride, and we watched you grow and change. Michael, this growth and change takes great humility and great discipline as well. A rare combination, mind you. Humility and discipline. Two qualities that you exemplify. Furthermore, what stood out since the beginning was your commitment, not only to Geneva, but your commitment to this church. I mean, it got to the point where we had to tell you, it's okay, you don't have to go to everything. But you weren't going to everything to make an appearance or just to go to everything. The two of you were just hungry for the Word of God, to learn and to grow. You had a desire to be with God's people and to sit under the exposition of God's Word. You went to everything because you wanted to grow in your faith. And that has been true of the two of you when you were dating, in marriage, and now married with children. Your desire to learn and grow has not changed. I never would have imagined that Geneva's boyfriend would one day be my elder. My brother Michael, it is an honor to serve this body with you. Elder Michael, will you please come and stand before your church, and elders, will you please come and stand with me on stage?
Brothers and sisters, I now read to you from 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, where Paul lays out the qualifications for an elder. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, this is God's holy word. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Having read the qualifications, we now turn to the vows of eldership. Brother Mike, I will read to you six vows. And with your right hand up, I ask that for the first three, if you affirm them, please respond with, I do. Do you affirm your faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you sincerely believe, receive, and adopt the essential tenets of the faith as expressed in our statement of faith?
I do.
Do you accept with conviction of heart and love for God the office of elder to oversee and shepherd God's people and promote God's glory in the gospel of his Son?
I do.
And for these next three, if you affirm them, would you please respond with, I will. Will you be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as an elder, shepherding the people of God, overseeing the ministry of the church, devoting yourself to prayer and preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God at Pillar Baptist Church?
I will.
Will you, in private and public, walk with exemplary piety before this congregation, adorning the gospel in your manner of life? And finally, will you take personal responsibility over the life of the church by protecting, leading, and loving its people, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock?
I will.
Paul, in writing to Timothy, reminded him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. The laying on of hands is the symbolic demonstration of commissioning the man of God to the high task of service, of shepherding God's people. And so, Pastor Eric and Pastor Dave and Elder Basil, would you lay hands on Elder Mike? And church, would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Oh, blessed Savior, we pray for your servant Michael, newly set apart and ordained into the ministry as elder in your church. We ask that he would fulfill his ministry by the influence and power of your Holy Spirit, knowing that this is not simply a physical or mental task, but more importantly, a spiritual one. One that carries with it eternal ramifications as eternal souls are placed in his care. May he rely upon you then, daily sensing his weaknesses, his frailties, his inabilities, his shortcomings, and his sins, trusting always in Christ, his Savior. May you remind him that when he is weak, then you are strong. May he never cease to seek and pursue you and your kingdom, placing the priorities, the right priorities, in his life. Before he is a man who stands before your people, may he be a man on his knees for his people, that he would be the man of God who is intimately familiar with that throne of grace, humbly interceding for himself and for others. May he know that he isn't a shepherd, but rather an under-shepherd of this church, whose authority is derived from someone greater, Jesus Christ. And with that, may he be faithful in the task of overseeing your people. May he be qualified daily more and more by your Holy Spirit, that the biblical and spiritual qualifications would increase and grow and improve in this man. He is your servant, and that to do your will. And may that will be to him sweeter than any ambition or personal success or the appreciation of men. May there be increase in grace in his life to make him more holy in character, more diligent in his work, more faithful in his time, more fervent in his devotion and zeal, more pure in his thoughts, more humble and loving in his walk. We pray that his understanding may be enlightened as he comprehends the holy word of God, that what would never cease in him would be his thirst to know your word and to know your will. Give him diligence and insight as he prepares your word for your people, humbly applying all that he finds to himself before he preaches it to others. Help him to preach the word in season and out of season at all times, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience. May he boldly preach the mysteries of the gospel, not only within the confines of this church, but to the unbelieving world. That he would preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and so help him, God. We pray that you would give Michael wisdom and love to rule the congregation well, that he would encourage and spur the congregation to greater faithfulness to Jesus Christ and to one another. Give him the courage to do the hard things, the difficult things, the things that are necessary for the health and well-being of the church. Help him to bear the trials and troubles which he'll meet in the ministry, and may he be steadfast to the end. Would you give him the kind of sensitivity that he needs to know the needs of the people, that he might better care for them and counsel them and shepherd them. Give Michael a greater love for them, that under his administration and by his good example, the church would grow and increase in faith. We pray that Michael would be the loving and faithful husband which you called him to be, that he would continually take his cues from his Savior and love Geneva as Christ loved the church, that his headship would be defined by his love and by his sacrifice as he lays down his life for her. Help him to be a patient and caring father to Mia, not provoking her or exasperating her, but bringing her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray that his love and care and concern would be consistent both in the church and in the home. We pray for his wife and our sister Geneva, who has been a source of encouragement and steadfastness for our church. May she be a constant support to him, helping him in his task to lead God's people. That she would not be behind him nor in front of him, but by his side, ministering alongside of him. We pray that you would encourage her and use her for the increase of the church. We pray for the congregation, for the people at Pillar Baptist Church, that we would, in obedience to our Lord, as it says in Hebrews 13, submit to our leaders. That we would submit willingly and joyfully to the oversight of our elder Michael. that we would, alongside our brother, serve Christ and His church. And may Michael, with all faithful servants, be received in the end and hear the words of the Lord Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our chief shepherd and our senior pastor, we pray. Amen. I would like to now read the certificate of ordination. We, the undersigned, hereby certify upon the recommendation and request of Pillar Baptist Church, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging his call to the ministry, doctrine, gifts, and Christian walk, that Michael Philip Choi was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the office of elder by the authority and order of Pillar Baptist Church. The aforementioned individual is hereby authorized to perform the full sacramental duties of an elder in accord with the Word of God and the Constitution of Pillar Baptist Church, given on this third day of February in the year of our Lord, 2019, signed Daniel Bay, Basil Shen, Eric Chabonet, and David Sun. Well, Elder Mike Choi, would you please come and address your congregation?
Church, I really don't know what to say other than to praise God for His faithfulness and to give Him all the glory. I feel like just a simple clay pot, just pleased to be of service in the Master's house. I am a sinner saved by grace, and by that grace made useful by Him and to Him. But I do, in saying that, want to acknowledge the people that God has provided to shape me into who I am over the years. And so I just want to first off say that I'm grateful to Pastor Jeff Warda and Harvest San Diego for those very formative years in college where I was introduced to really rich gospel theology and Reformed teaching, and introduced all of that. And then I turn to my elders. I don't have Basil's gift for roasting, so you guys are pretty safe. But I'm so grateful for elders such as you, and I never really would have imagined myself as your elder as well. But I just want to say thank you for feeding us week in and week out with just incredible preaching. We are blessed here at Pillar with such gospel glorifying messages that just take us into the depths of God. And Geneva and I are continually amazed at the treasures that you're bringing out for us from the storehouses of God, both new and old. And you are, by this labor, building up our church, stone by stone, heart by heart. And I just thank you for pouring into my life personally through the many conversations that we've had in car rides, at men's group, just at family events, and throughout my training as well. Thank you for being so gracious to me during my training. You are, by God's grace, just huge examples of the godly men who are to shepherd God's flock, just even as Pastor Eric, you exhorted. Huge examples of that to me, to my family, an example that I strive to emulate as you all strive to emulate Christ. And I especially want to thank you, Basil and Sue Ann, for over eight years of monthly discipleship. I mean, we missed a few months, but really not very many. That is a lot of games of Catan, Settlers. But more than that, much, much fellowship as you and Sue Ann and Mr. Rins have poured into our lives. And we are very grateful for that, how you've opened your lives to us and the friendship that we've developed over those years. I also want to thank my brothers who run alongside me faithfully, and particularly Scott and Jack and Josh. Man, you guys know my sinful heart, and you guys have walked through those with me, those times, and you've applied gospel medicine for me whenever that was needed. You continually spur me on whenever I'm tired. You guys have wept with me, you've rejoiced with me, and man, I'm just grateful that God has given me friends and brothers like you. You guys have been like David was to Jonathan, as Paul was to Barnabas, and again, I'm thankful and grateful that God has given me brothers to keep me accountable, to run hard with me after Christ. And I'm definitely grateful for my parents, for my dad, first of all. Just want to say thanks for being a great dad. And when I look back, I see the outline of God, our Heavenly Father, in how you raised me and my sister. You gave us the space to grow, and yet you were never distant. You've been very, very patient with us, firm when necessary. An example both of working hard, getting down to business, and playing hard as well. And I just want to say thanks for teaching me all kinds of life skills. I mean, woodworking, personal finances, not sweating the small stuff in life. And I don't think I ever became the basketball player that you hoped that I was. But I hope and pray that I'm the man, the husband, and father that you raised me to be. And so in so many ways, I'm thankful to God for you as well. And I'm thankful for my mom, for being a great mom as well. You are one of the hardest working people that I know, and I hope that I can care for my family as you cared for us. I know that it wasn't easy, and it was a lot of sacrificial service. Again, things that I hope to emulate in my own life. And that's not all to say that we didn't take the time to enjoy and have fun, and you always made sure of that, to make sure that we did. But you're always taking care of and remembering other people, even no matter what was going on in your own life and whatever hardships we may have been going through. And so I'm grateful for that example. And it is a huge part of who I am today, and I believe a large part of why I'm standing up here today as well. And really, I'm most of all, I'm thank you for introducing us to Christ, for praying for us so faithfully. God has answered those prayers, and He's continually answering our prayers in mighty ways beyond all that we can imagine. And so I praise God every day for your faith in and through life and trials. And I just want to say thanks to my sister. I know she couldn't be here today, but she is living encouragement to me that it is God who plants, who waters, and who saves. She is my constant reminder that salvation is entirely by God's grace and not by my own might or any human intervention. And so I'm thankful for her love, for her faith, which is grounded and steadfast in Christ and in Christ alone. Mia, I love you. You don't really know what I'm saying now, but I love you so much. You are growing up so fast and learning so much, learning new things every day. And I want to teach you all that I know about the God that I love, and that I might be an example to love and to obey Him. And well, I hope that this eldership will be for you an extension of that. As you see God's love for us and for His people, and I do promise that I will guard our family time so that I can be there with you as you grow, as we learn today, to give myself to you as well. And Geneva, God has given me a truly wonderful wife. As Pastor Eric succinctly said once, you are usually right. usually. And I trust and I rely on you so much, far more than I realize and more often than I acknowledge, because you are so right so often. But you are also beautiful and kind and generous, and you tie everything in our family together, inside and outside of our family. And yet in all of that, you have always been humble-ish. always putting others forward instead of yourself. I am so thankful for that example that of Christ that I am constantly humbled by and inspired by. And so I'm thankful for God, for a woman of your faith, your knowledge of the truth, and your discernment of it to walk with me in that. We are pilgrims together in this life, and you are one who has loved me and supported me without being impressed by me, as Pastor Eric and other wise men have said. That has been what has made our marriage so wonderful. And as I told you at the beginning, wherever we go in our lives, wherever God places us and takes us, well, I just want to be there with you. So thanks for coming on this journey with me and for saying yes. And church, I address you now. I am and we are privileged to be a part of something really, really special here at Pillar Baptist. We have such godly elders, we have godly deacons, this loving plurality of leadership, but also the church body, this church body, every member here at Pillar. God is tangibly at work amongst us, growing us into the fullness of Christ. We are so unique in our gifts and our personalities and our backgrounds, but we are united by the grace of God in the gospel of Christ and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit. And I have been meditating, thinking about the words of that hymn, for her, my tears shall fall. For her, my prayers ascend. And you know that this is speaking and writing about the church. To you, my toils and cares will be given until toils and cares shall end, and we shall see Christ face to face. And I ask in advance for your prayers, for your forgiveness, for my sins against you. I'm not going to be perfect. I am not perfect. You and I know that. But I pray that in that grace and in that forgiveness, we will move forward together in the mercy of God. And as I said, I'm a simple clay pot, and we are all simple clay pots, but we have been filled with the amazing treasure of the gospel. So even as I pray that for myself, to give you my cares and toils, brothers and sisters, let us all do so. Let us all build up the church, walking together by the grace of God. Let us together worship Him and love His people all the more. So I thank you for calling me as your elder, and I hope that in the grace of God, we may worship Him together.